Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Everyone has an opinion. Let's hear yours. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
Save his life,
call his wife, and hey, nothing to say but what a day. How's your boy been?
My boy's been good. We got a big night tonight. I might be a little tired. I got a big science fair. I was making three different iterations of mini bobsleds for the science fair. I had the dopey idea of carving a big bar of soap into a bobsled. So that's what I was doing the last couple. I mean, it wasn't overly hard, but you got to be careful. You don't want to break the whole bar of soap. And then I took some sandpaper. I'm not kidding. I took sandpaper to one of the bigger bar of soaps, something Canyon. I forget the name of it. But I've recently become a bar of soap guy as opposed to a shower gel guy. For years, I was just, you know, a shower gel guy. And someone turned me on to the going back to the bar soap. My dad was a soap guy. I remember Zest. That's another commercial you don't see anymore. Since we were talking about that yesterday, you're not fully clean until you're... Is that it? Zestfully clean or something without a smile? But there was like... And it had the towel, the Zest towel. Those are commercials. Yes, everyone. But so I had a big bar of soap and I'm carving out the middle to make it look like a bobsled, and I'm taking sandpaper around the edges. I mean, it's amazing. And then I'll be at school all night tonight from, I think, 7 to 10 p.m. So everybody can walk around and see the bobsleds we built and the track and how fast they go down. So what's that bobsled made of? Soap and two straws. Aren't I innovative? So that's what I'll be doing. That's how my boy's been. We're looking forward to the science experiment. He's very excited. 888-808-1019. And I'm curious if Jet fans are excited about the prospect of hiring Aaron Glenn as their next head coach, because it has not been done yet. I was literally practically walking out of here when Fliegelman sent me the text of the report yesterday morning, that Aaron Glenn was coming in. And that the plan was to not let him leave. And yet he has left. And the reports are that negotiations are still in progress. And right now, as of today, 4:09 on this Wednesday morning, the expectation is Aaron Glenn will be the next head coach of the New York Jets, and that Lance Newmark will be the next general manager of the New York Jets. And I don't know what's there to get excited about. I have to be totally honest. And that's my question, because it seems like we want to, like, it's not enough to just say the same old thing that I've been saying for a while, that I heard Gio this morning, and he's been saying it for a while. Like, this Jet job, especially considering the way it's been going the last handful of years, the last handful of hires, and the trend of the NFL, I wanted the head coach, the Pete Carroll. I know there's reports that Pete Carroll let the Jets know that he wasn't interested, so fine. I can't make them hire someone who didn't want the job. But like the Mike McCarthys of the world, a stabilizing force, bring back Aaron Rodgers, same thing I've been saying forever. I want someone who wins. Mike McCarthy wins, all right? He might not win the big game, but he has been, although he's got a Super Bowl ring on his finger, and he's had some failures at the end of Rodgers' career, and certainly with Dak Prescott in the playoffs, but, I mean, how many division titles? How many 10, 12, 14-win seasons? How much successful football? Someone who's dealt with an owner who likes to get involved. Someone who's dealt with the pressures of one of the more famed franchises or big market. Like someone like that who can step into this job and not be surprised by anything or overwhelmed by anything, let alone a 15-year playoff drought hanging over the organization like a black cloud. All the stories about the owner and, you know, making decisions based on video games and his son's opinions and screaming at quarterbacks that they suck in the locker room and everything else that comes with this job in particular makes no sense for a first-time head coach. And certainly, in the way the NFL is going, offensive head coaches are where it is and who are winning right now. And quite honestly, the Jets, whether I think this absolutely they should keep Aaron Rodgers, I don't think there's a doubt. I've been saying it forever. And the last thing I want to do is throw that into the mix now, figuring out the quarterback position. But whether it's this year, whether it's next year, eventually you're going to be dealing with breaking in and developing a young quarterback. And I want an offensive head coach to do it. Because we've seen in the NFL that even if you get the right offensive coordinator, like Daniels right now, him and Kingsbury, everything's great, working great, and I expect him to be great enough where it won't make a huge difference. But Kingsbury might get hired next year. Offensive coordinators who have success with a young quarterback get hired for jobs. And then you got a defensive head coach and a new offensive coordinator for this new offensive of a quarterback still working his way up in the NFL. But it's not only just that. It's not only just that I don't love the idea that he's a first-time head coach and that he's a defensive coordinator. But what exactly gets you excited about this hire? Fine, that's not enough. You got to give me more. I heard Evan today. You can't just come at me with, oh, it's a first-time head coach and it's a defensive coach. That's not enough. Well, okay, fine. Tell me what you love about it other than he played for the Jets and he's willing to take the job. And then I want to ask the biggest question. For me, this is without question the biggest question and the biggest thought that I have and biggest problem I have with it is that I don't think, and I don't know how anyone could argue with this, Lance Newmark is not getting this job if Aaron Glenn is not the guy. Like, it feels like they want Aaron Glenn, and whether or not he specifically said he wants Lance Newmark for their time shared together in Detroit, or the Jets just feel that's the best option. They're connected. They've worked together. It should be an easy transition. What about Aaron Glenn and his track record as a one-time defensive coordinator with Detroit? And by the way, yeah, they've gotten a little bit better every year. And ultimately, they were, you know, ravaged by injury this year. But Rex Ryan was a big-time defensive coordinator with great defenses. Robert Saleh in San Francisco had dominant defenses. Todd Bowles, the other terrible hires, right? The other failed defensive first-time head coach hires, at least they were coming in with significantly dominant defenses. And that's not to say that Aaron Glenn isn't necessarily qualified to be a head coach. Of course he is. I love the idea that a former player decided to go at the bottom and start as a quality control coach. He didn't take any shortcuts. He's worked his way up. This defense has gotten better every year. He is absolutely worthy to be an NFL head coach. But for this team, for a first-year defensive head coach, and then, by the way, a big enough get that I'm going to base who I hired the GM upon it, how does that make any sense to anybody? Right, if you're going to hire Vrabel, okay, maybe I'm going to let Vrabel pick his head coach because he's the guy, he's who everybody wants. He did an incredible job in Tennessee, had them as the one seed winning playoff games against Tom Brady with, you know, a terrible quarterback. You want to hire Mike McCarthy? Okay. You want to get a general manager with him? You trade the pipe dream of trading for Mike Tomlin? Sure, he gets the pick. Pete Carroll might get the pick. Why are we in a NFL where it has been a staple and a far more true and try way to go about things? You hire the GM, you hire the coach. Why is Aaron Glenn worthy of bucking that trend? Why are we want the coach so bad, we're either going to let him handpick the GM or we're going to pick the GM that works best for him. Why? Why? In a job that you're going to step into with the 15-year playoff drought, double any other team in the NFL and longest in all of professional sports, with a meddling owner, with an owner who is out there, you know, stories about him in the media, embarrassing stories. It's failed with Aaron Rodgers. It's failed at every turn. They fired the head coach. He steps in and fires the head coach midseason and puts Ulbrich, the defensive coordinator, as the head coach, and the defense falls apart. And the team falls apart. Like, what about this Jet situation screams first-year defensive coordinator, and specifically Glenn? Because I'm not knocking him, and I'm not saying he's not worthy. But if you don't think defense and first year is enough of a reason to be questioning this hire, tell me what you love about it. And tell me why a first-time head coach gets to handpick his GM. He played for the Jets. He wants the job. At least that's what's perceived, although he left the building without taking it. Other than that, what excites you? And honestly, nobody did. It's not just him. None of the names really excited me. And I don't think any of it. I don't think Flores should have been able to. I'm not making the GM pick based on my coach. If it's Flores, if it's Glenn, if it's any of these names that we've, of the 17 head coaches. I mean, one guy's got a second interview because they want the coach and they're going with him. A guy who's honestly, and I don't know Lance Newmark. I don't know how integral he was into the shaping of this, you know, Commanders roster this year that's still playing on Sunday. I don't know. Or how influential he was with the building of the Lions over the last handful of years, but he's been with the Lions since 1999. Has there been two or three franchises worse than the Detroit Lions since 1999? Just none of this signifies stabilizing this job. These are hopes and prayers. And maybe it turns out to be right. I'm not saying he's incapable of it. I'm saying it is a very difficult spot for a first-time head coach to start. This is a very difficult spot. And especially, think of all the things you're adding. You're adding Woody Johnson. You're adding the playoff drought. You're adding the failed nature of this talented roster last year and the expectations of this team. You're adding the idea that he's the reason the GM is here, and I don't know how else to see it. You're adding the fact that he's a defensive head coach in an offensive head coach world. I mean, someone brought up to him the amount of Super Bowls, and someone went back at me on Twitter. What are you talking about? Defensive coaches win Super Bowls all the time. Okay. Not named Bill Belichick. You have to go back to, if you even want to include Pete Carroll, who, by the way, was not a first-time head coach, was a third-time NFL head coach and had won a national championship at college in between. At that point, I don't even know if you're still a defensive. You're a two-time NFL head coach and a program runner at USC and won a national championship. Are you still even a defensive coach in my mind? I mean, he's got a defensive background. But you have to go back to Pete Carroll or Mike Tomlin to find a defensive coach not named Bill Belichick to win a Super Bowl. This is the way the NFL is going. And at some point, you're going to have a young quarterback. And it's not that a quarterback can't be developed by a good head coach. You got to have a good offensive coordinator. And then you get that, too. The reports are that possibly, again, these are all premature. You don't even know if he has the job. But the reports are you get Clint Kubiak as the possible offensive coordinator who is getting hired because his last name's Kubiak. Okay. And then Steve Wilks as the defensive coordinator because he might want an experienced head coach. I mean, he does have some head coaching experience. It didn't go all that well 1 year in Arizona. And he's a failed defensive coordinator in the same spot where the last head coach you fired week five thrived. He's a failed 49er defensive coordinator where Robert Saleh became a head coaching candidate doing a great job there. Like, think of all the different tentacles you're asking Aaron Glenn to reel in. I'm the reason the GM's here. I got to deal with Woody Johnson. I got to deal with this playoff drought. I got a defensive coordinator who everyone's going to link to the last head coach because he failed at a spot the last head coach was successful. I got, how many things? It's like, you know, my cousin Vinny. Your biological clock. My career. It's a lot for a first-time head coach. It's a lot. Doesn't mean he can't do it, but tell me exactly why you want to run this format back. Tell me exactly why this is the way to go when it's failed with Bowles, it's failed with Saleh, it failed with Mangini, it failed with Rex. Yes, there was some success. Mangini made the playoffs. Rex went back-to-back AFC championship games, but ultimately, this has failed. And right now feels like a very difficult task for a rookie head coach. And the main thing is the GM hire feels like an aside to the head coaching hire. And I know last year you could say that Douglas did a fairly good job with this team over the 5 years. You could argue he deserved to be fired. You could argue he did a fairly decent job. You certainly can argue he's one of the better GMs they've had in somewhat recent memory. But, and you could say Robert Saleh was a disaster. Pre-snap penalties, everything, blah, 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 blah. And you could argue that the coach would have made a bigger impact on this current situation than the GM. With this roster, as is, a head coach would solve more things than maybe a GM could. But you can't think short term when you're hiring two first-time guys. And I hate the idea that this organization is going to go in and pick a GM based on what best suits the coach they want to hire when the coach is a first-time defensive coordinator. It seems like a very difficult road to navigate, and I wish him well if that becomes the case. 888-808-1019. We'll talk a little Jets. I opened it up to Knicks right before the 4 o'clock hour. We can get into the Knicks. Baseball Hall of Fame, C.C. Sabathia, Ichiro Suzuki, and Billy Wagner. Congratulations to them as they've been inducted. We went into Beltran and why I think he should be a Hall of Famer. And I think it's ridiculous if his actions in Houston have anything to do.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Do it.
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
All right. 429, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. The other bit of news that we haven't got to is we're going to get ready to turn to baseball season rather quickly. Right? We got my favorite tweet of the year. It used to be, unfortunately, used to be Juan Soto is a Yankee, but I can't do that one anymore. My favorite tweet of the year is always right after the confetti falls on the Super Bowl, the obligatory it's baseball season tweet. And I'm looking forward to it because this should be a fun baseball season, but I got to tell you. I got to absolutely tell you. As we sit here today, and the New York Yankees are in desperate need of a third baseman, another bat in this lineup, and we await the trading of Marcus Stroman because they're not going to do anything until Marcus Stroman is no longer on the team, until they can get his money off the deal. Hal Steinbrenner isn't going to spend any more money on anything until he can get Marcus Stroman's money off the books while we're staring at DJ LeMahieu being the starting third baseman. And the Mets and Pete Alonso are holding the line firm, knowing they, in my mind, need another bat in the middle of the lineup. It stabilizes the team. You're not moving Vientos over to first base. You're providing another 35 to 40 home run hitter in the middle of the lineup for Juan Soto, one of your guys. As we sit here and the Mets don't want to pay Pete Alonso, and I know they went out and got Juan Soto, I get it. But as they are one of the favorites in the National League, they got Juan Soto. Yankees, one of the favorites in the American League. But yet there's these things where, hey, why aren't they the ones on, you know, getting Tanner Scott? Why aren't the Mets involved? Why can't the Mets pony up a little bit more to get Pete Alonso? What are they going to do in the middle of the lineup? What are the Yankees going to do at third base? The Dodgers are just signing everyone. The Dodgers are signing everybody. As Kirby Yates now, another excellent reliever, ERA under 2 last season, along with Tanner Scott, now joins this bullpen. They've signed those two relievers and back. They've signed the two best relievers left in the market. And you could argue Tanner Scott was one of the top. In free agency, probably was the top. And then they bring in Yates as well as bringing in Snell, re-signing Teoscar Hernandez. I mean, this Dodger team, the payroll is up to almost $480 million. Excuse me, $380 million. And when you add in the luxury tax they're going to pay, and that's not even include. I mean, it's going to be like $470 million. And that's not even including the $1.5 billion that they have in escrow, whatever you want to call it, waiting to be paid in years coming down the line. And you know what? I don't care. I'm not going to scream like Sal. I know I screamed a little bit like that. But I'm not going to scream like Sal. And I'm not going to call them anything other than the most successful, most willing to win organization in the sport. That's what they are. They don't care. Right? They have enough money to do it. God knows they're probably making enough money off Ohtani. They get Roky Sasaki to come there and practically play for nothing. So they're the most enticing team. Everybody wants to go there. Everybody wants to play there. They're willing to pay all these guys. And right now, they are so far and away the best roster in the sport. And we're all going to complain about it. Not me. I'm not going to complain about it for two reasons. One, I'm not mad at them. You know who I'm mad at? The rest of Major League Baseball, who doesn't want to spend money. Because while I understand, listen, the Yankees make more money, at least bring in more money. They have debts we can get. I don't really feel like getting into the conversation about how much actual money the Yankees make. But after they pay the debt for the building and pay the debt for your YES Network and everything else that comes with it, But we understand there are teams that don't make the revenue. The Yankees certainly do, the Dodgers do, and certain things like that. But there are billionaires running these organizations. And they would be making more money if they spent more money. And they'd be willing and be closer to competing if they handled their business a little bit more like the Dodgers and were willing to spend instead of the Detroit Tigers waiting for the last second until Bregman's money comes down to something they can tolerate as opposed to just go and get Bregman and make sure he's in the fold. Or the Mets holding firm on Pete Alonso. Because God forbid they pay a little bit extra to their guy who was making $500,000 while he was hitting 50 home runs. So I don't blame the Los Angeles Dodgers. I blame the rest of baseball. Someone should have signed Kirby Yates. The Mets could have signed Yates. Another team has done... had nothing done this offseason, could have signed Yates. Well, no one else is spending money. And then the other reason I don't hate them or blame them is because it guarantees nothing. This sport is so much different than almost any other sport. And we are going on 25 years since the New York Yankees won back-to-back-to-back World Series titles in 98, 99, and 2000, since we've had a repeat champion. And only six times in 25 years, has the team with the best record in the regular season won the World Series. Things happen, and I am going to take great joy, when the new Death Star... when the new evil empire, and make no mistake, it's what they are, when the new bad boys of baseball, the enemy to all, come crashing down. And I cannot wait for the New York Yankees to exact revenge in the World Series if the Mets don't get them first. Because I'm telling you right now, the Dodgers are not about to become the next dynasty and win year after year after year. It won't happen. It's too difficult to do. There's too many things that can happen. I don't care how deep they are in their rotation. I don't care how great that lineup is. I don't care. I'm telling you right now, I don't care. Give me Cole and Fried in games 1 and 2 of a World Series and tell me the Yankees can't win those games. They absolutely can. I'm tired of this. I'm actually enjoying it. And we're going to see what happens. The other big thing that's scaring the hell out of me, because I don't know if you remember, I was a part of the Carton and Roberts show at the time. I love my baseball. I've talked about it a lot, sometimes a little weird, very romantic about baseball. It's my companion. It's my best friend. It's in the car with me when I run to the supermarket. It's in the backyard when I'm doing yard work. It's with you every day, every single day. Football, we got to wait a week. Got to wait a whole week. And we got to talk about the same nonsense. The coach talks twice. The coordinators talk once. The players talk every day. Quarterback talks like, who cares? Get me to the game. It's once a week. Baseball is every single day, every single night. It's your best friend throughout the summer. And I miss it. And the idea, I'm not sure of the ramifications just yet, but there are going to be owners and there are going to be issues with the next collective bargaining agreement in 2 years. The Dodgers are causing a problem. That's the one thing where I'm going to get mad about it. I still think it's the other owner's issue, but there is going to be a problem because they have to figure out a way to make it more punitive. You can't just give Ohtani $700 million over 10 years and have a $43 million or $45 million cap hit. It can't happen. They've got to find a way to deal with this a different way. And I'm telling you right now, I don't know what other owner. The Yankee, right? Hal Steinbrenner had no problem with the luxury tax threshold at some level, but didn't put up too much of a fight, was willing to bring on Steve Cohen. Even the big guys, even the Philadelphia Phillies who spend money, even the New York Yankees who spend money. I know we don't like to think so. He's a cheap bastard. I've heard that a lot. He's still the Yankees are a top three payroll every single year. Even the Mets. Maybe the Mets are the one team, but there is going to be a real problem. The players love what they're doing. The other teams hate what they're doing. it's going to be a, and I'm worried that this could be such an issue. We know how the last collective bargaining agreement went, and I was miserable every single day. And they didn't even miss a game, and I was miserable every single day with those stupid meetings. I don't know what these collective bargaining agreements is going to look like. This fight's going to look like after next year, after the 2026 season. And I know that's, 2 years from now to be worrying about it. But you can't take baseball away from me. 888-808-1019. And I'm worried there's going to be a major problem. But it's on the little guys. It's on the Tampa Bay Rays of the world. It's on the Chicago Cubs. Tanner Scott wanted to be a Chicago Cub. He needed $5 million more a year, $4 million more a year. And you could talk till you're blue in the face about giving an $18 million contract to a relief pitcher and whether or not it's a good idea. Do you want to win? Do you want the player? Or do you want to sit on our morals and watch the Dodgers collect every single piece of talent in the league? Let's go to Paul in Queens. What's up, Paul? You're on the Fan.
Morning, Chris.
Good morning,
sir.
How are
you?
Thank you.
Big fan of the show. You do a great job on the overnight.
I appreciate that, buddy.
Yeah, no problem. I just wanted to talk about Beltran. I'm a Met fan, 47 years. I've been to hundreds of Met games. And Beltran not getting in the Hall of Fame is just bullcrap. How many silver sluggers, center fielders, gold glovers have there been there? Switch hitters. He's a switch hitter.
Yes, he is.
And batting third in the lineup every day. Come on.
I agree with you. Now, look, here's the one caveat to it, Paul, and thank you for the call. I believe he's going to get in. So it's a little bit of a, I totally agree. I think it's ridiculous. To me, he's a Hall of Famer. And my major point is I hope it's not the Astros scandal keeping him out. As much as I hate the Astros and I hate that team and I hate Beltran for doing it. And I hate Cora, and I hate Hinch, and I hate all of them. Don't get me wrong. But, I don't think it should keep him out of the Hall of Fame, right? It's been prevalent. Stealing signs has been prevalent. Did they take it too far? Sure. Sure. Was it, blatant and bad, and did they go way too far on it? Absolutely. And was he even a ringleader of it? I believe that. Yes, he was one of him and Alex Cora, to me. After reading the reports and everything, I think that him and Alex Cora were the two guys, maybe not, obviously Cora wasn't benefiting from it the most, although you could argue it helped him get a job in Boston. But I don't think Beltran was benefiting, but it was his idea. It was his baby. They came up with the idea. But it cost him what it cost everybody else, a job. And I think rightfully so. I think the Mets were right not to continue on with him, the prospect, because he never managed the game, but they were right to not continue on with the prospect of him becoming the next Met manager. He should have been fired. Hinch was fired. Alex Cora was at least, let go in the short term, and both of them would come back. And I think if Beltran had a more of a track record as a manager, which unfortunately he couldn't, he was coming right off the field, but if he had more of a track record as a manager, and a successful one like those two World Series winning managers, he probably would have been back. But he hasn't been because he didn't have one, and no one's going to bother with it now. But that's what it should have cost him, a job, and it did. It should not cost him the Hall of Fame, and it doesn't look like it won't. So we can yell and scream about it, and I don't disagree. Beltran should be a Hall of Famer, and if he ever doesn't get in after his final 10 years, then I will scream and yell. But he got 70%. He's trending towards getting in next season. So I agree. Beltran should be in the Hall of Fame. And it's ridiculous that he's not. And I really hope it's not the same voters who aren't voting for steroid users or whatever, not voting for him because of this Astro scandal. I think he paid his debt. He lost a job. He lost an ability to be a manager in Major League Baseball. And he'll probably never get that back. I can't guarantee that. He's working for the Mets right now. He's in organizations, but I don't think he's going to get manager. And he had it, and he lost it. And he should have lost it, and that's about as fair as it gets. Other than that, not a single player in uniform got punished in any way. And we'll find out when Altuve is up for the Hall of Fame on whether or not they take it out on him, because he's a clear Hall of Famer. Let's squeeze in Jim in Stratford. What's up, Jim?
Hey, Chris. How are you today?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, thank you. Cold up here. Listen,
it's
I want to
cold everywhere.
I know. I want to segue on the Dodgers and the Yankees. I mean, how can they, the owners of the Dodgers, just ignore the luxury tax and how?
Well, they don't. But I mean, I guess they kind of. I hear what you're saying. They're forced to pay the money of the luxury tax, but they don't care about it. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know which franchise is worth more. I don't know how many fans each team draws every year. I mean, they got to make the same amount of money.
The Yankees make a little bit more in revenue than the Dodgers do.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But yet the Dodgers just keep signing and signing and signing.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Well, there's a couple reasons. One, their owner has other ways of making money. He's a billionaire businessman who happens to own the Dodgers and treats it as such. Much like Steve Cohen and the Yankees, their business is the Steinbrenners' business is the Yankees. I mean, they have other ventures and stuff, but that's where they make their money. And they also have debts higher than any other team in baseball. They paid for their own Yankee Stadium. They paid for themselves, and it's something of like a $600 a year payment that they have to make on the lease for the building. So they make somewhere, so they bring in more money, but they actually make less money than the Dodgers when you think of what it costs to operate. So I think anywhere from doing the math and reading some articles about it, I don't know, somewhere between $60 and $100 million they make, right? Then they have all the investors that they have to pay, and then they're splitting it between all the Steinbrenner family. Like, I'm not saying they shouldn't spend more money. They should. Right, and they shouldn't be waiting for Marcus Stroman's money to move for them to be able to go out and sign an infielder. I totally agree. But it isn't quite as basic as they make more money than the Dodgers, and the Dodgers are still willing to spend more money. Shame on the New York Yankees. There are extenuating circumstances. And they were willing to pony up $760 million for Juan Soto. It's like, you know, I understand that now they don't deem other players worth that kind of, you know, sticking their neck out for. And it is a business, and I don't blame them for wanting to make money on the business. Therefore, George didn't have to worry about paying $600 million for the building. I'm not making excuses for them, or maybe I am. Maybe I am. But I understand it on some level. They still should spend more. Absolutely should spend more. They should put more percentage of the revenue into the team. But it's not the same as the Dodgers. And the Mets right now won't be the same. The Mets aren't making nearly as much money. But Steve Cohen it's a different animal, right? I think he's paying for the ballpark too. And now he's trying to put a bunch of stuff around the ballpark so he can generate income doing that. Like, the Dodgers treat it like a toy. They don't care what profit they turn. They can afford to spend $150 million just in luxury tax. And they're making a ton of money off of Ohtani. That was a contract that's going to pay for itself 2-3 times over. And it's not affecting their luxury tax. So, like, look, the Dodgers are, I don't know if they're the smartest organization. They're certainly the most, they don't care about anything other than winning more than any other organization. Because no other team would spend $18 million per for Tanner Scott after having a pretty damn good bullpen last year and winning the World Series and signing Blake Snell and everything else they did this year. Sign the best reliever on the market and turn around and sign the second best reliever on the market. Not many teams are doing that. Not many teams are doing that. But you know what? It's going to be glorious when it blows up in their face. And I can only hope it's at the expense of the Yankees, because not only is the organization obnoxious with how much money they spent, but I have never seen a group of less gracious winners than this Dodger team. Now, I know it's a different world, and they didn't go back to running their bowling alleys and taking their World Series check and taking their families on vacation, and they have podcasts, and they have the ability to speak. It's not previous years, and life is a bit different, and they're more afforded, and more people are aware of what they have to say. But the Dodgers and the way they ran their mouth after winning the championship, and the way they're running their mouth now to defend the organization, but specifically how they talked about winning that championship and the New York Yankees and how they forget. I know it's the New York Yankees, and so it's personal to me. Do you ever remember a World Series winner talking about the follies of their loser, the follies of the team they beat, more than this team sitting around drinking tequila, laughing about it? Do you ever remember that? Oh, they will fall. They will fall hard because pride comes before the fall. Nobody is more prideful than that team.
Talk about your Giants on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 888-808-1019. Last few minutes. Veronica here with you on this Wednesday morning. We'll be back tomorrow. Same time, same place, 2 a.m. We'll get closer to championship weekend. Start breaking down the games if we must. We could talk about the AFC championship game all day long. That'd be great. It's that damn NFC championship game. And we'll see. You know how I feel about it. Let's go Commanders. I'm sorry. Let's go Eagles. Losing my mind. Apologize. Let's go Eagles. As crazy as that sounds, I do not want to see, I don't want to see this Washington team jump from four wins to a Super Bowl. I can't take it.
That might have been a point for Marco, because you can't even train yourself to say, let's go Eagles.
It's true. Might be a point for him. I couldn't even get the words out. I do hate them more. There's no doubt about that, but I can't watch that team suddenly. I don't know. I just can't. I have a real tough time thinking that all of a sudden Washington's going to be a Super Bowl team. Can't take it! We'll get to that when we get to it, though. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Eddie in Rockland. Hello, Eddie.
Hello, McMonagle.
Hi, how are you?
All right. Now, where are you on the Jets coaching? I would like to know where you would give Woody Johnson your expertise. So if he's listening, well, who's your top two on coaches for the Jets? Are you an Aaron Glenn guy because you played for the Jets?
I am not. No, I don't know. If you've listened, if you haven't heard this take, you can go back. I did it at 4 o'clock as well as when I opened the show at 2. So you can go back on the Odyssey app and listen to it. I do not think a first-time defensive-minded head coach is a good idea for this particular team at the moment for a myriad of reasons, and I certainly don't think it warrants basing the GM hire around the... Mike McCarthy would be my top guy. Of the candidates available, Mike McCarthy.
What about, you won't say their name, the Eagles offensive coordinator, offensive coordinator?
Kellen Moore?
Yeah, that's the guy they should really target.
He's an offensive coach. He was thought of as like a wunderkind with his time with Dallas.
He's got playoff experience.
Yeah, you could make a case it's better than Aaron Glenn. I don't know. It's not a name that excites me overall. No, it's not a name that excites me. No.
Really? Then what's your second name after Coach McCarthy?
Pete Carroll, but Pete Carroll does. I want a stable.
Wow,
I want a coach.
You got some list.
Yeah, I want a coach that's won before. That's what I want. I want a coach that's won before. Stabilize this thing.
But can you get
bring
one
back
that
Aaron Rodgers? No, I don't. I like the idea that they're old. I like the idea. It's not a long term thing. I like the idea they can. You know, that they stabilize this thing. Thank you very much for the call, Eddie. I like the idea. Now listen, Pete Carroll, there's some thought that he doesn't want to be the Jets head coach, but I want an offensive-minded head coach who's coached in the league before. But I went through it all, and I'm sure we'll go through it again because they might hire him later today, and we'll do it all again at 2 a.m., or maybe they'll pivot and go somewhere else, or he'll take the Saint job and they'll be forced to go somewhere else. Who knows? It's all up in the air. But we'll do it again tomorrow morning. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. Mike on the other side, always appreciate it. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. The warm-up show is next. Again, I'll talk to you at 2 a.m. Everybody, enjoy your day. I'm out of here. Bye-bye. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.